Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that love to share with you our love and fascination with astrology and how it manifests in our daily lives. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm joined by my two buddies in New York City, Mark.
Mark Wolf in Manhattan, on the west side, over by the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, where it's 80 degrees outside, a beautiful, balmy 80-degree night.
Ours is 98 and steamy, and our heat is heading your way.
Oh, good.
So
we love you.
Enjoy that. You know, one of the pieces we have really noticed since Neptune has been shifted into a water sign is the real difficulty we're seeing in the global weather patterns, where there's too much water in one place and too little in another, that the whole water extremes are increasing. The floods all through this area, or flash floods, are pretty intense around here, all through the upper Midwest, and we have drought toasting the Southwest. So, and we might find that other places in our life. Too much emotions in one place, too dry in another. How can we find a creative balance and look at what the water and the weather is saying to us to help us find, to notice what we're doing? So this week, today, the moon is in Pisces. I went over that Neptune and Chiron earlier today, and is left people feeling soft and squishy and a little vulnerable. So I hope you are nice and kind to each other and a little indulgent to yourself in this process. It's important that we feel things so acutely right now with both the Sun and Venus in Cancer. People are a little thin-skinned. I hear people hearing mistakes, or they hear slights or criticism where it was not meant. I get to watch people get sparky or defensive or look like a hurt puppy for no particular reason because they've misconstrued a word as if it's just they're taking it. Everybody's opinions and everybody's thoughts and feelings are so affect them so tenderly. And Cancer's response to feeling tender is to armor up.
Right.
So we may be feeling, you know, if we feel emotional, we may feel overwhelmed with it. If we're feeling Mars in Gemini responds, asks, lets us know that if we just kind of look on the funny side of it, we can find it. If we can have that light patter around the edges, but Venus in Cancer always pulls us down into the deep feelings. I think that Mars in Gemini also talks about, you know, wherever Mars is, talks about how we do war right now, that moment, how we set our limits, how we set our boundaries, and how we fight. And Mars in Gemini talks about a war of words. And I'm in a state where the whole state government is shut down, dealing with a war of words. And we see this going on in Congress. And Anne, you all mentioned that it was also this, you had some astrological insight here
as to the
nature of conflict right now.
The station of Eris, you know, the Hubble telescope was launched back in 2000. And because it's out there, they've been taking all these pictures and finding all these new planets. And one of the astronomers out west, Mike Brown, is like, I want more women in the heavens. So he's been naming planets after women, goddesses, and, you know, from other cultures. And one of them was the goddess Eris. Now, Eris was Mars's sister. Okay, so she's the goddess of war, and she's the goddess of discord. She started the Trojan War by throwing an apple into a party she wasn't invited to and said, it's for the most beautiful goddess. And then they all fought over it. And then one won, and the other two got mad, and thus the war went for 10 years. So she's a goddess that reminds us of discord. She pokes at our tender parts and says, you know, this is something you really want, and you can't have it. Or, you know, she is literally Mars's sister. She likes the blood and the guts and the gore. So in New York last week, we had a kid murdered, cut up into pieces by a butcher, and, you know, kind of distributed around the dumpsters as well as, you know, put in his refrigerator.
Really?
Yeah, this little Jewish boy from he first day walking home by himself, and he got lost and asked the wrong person for help. So she's the goddess of discord, and she's stopping now. So when once she was discovered, she's the one that got Pluto demoted too, because she was actually bigger than Pluto, or they thought she was bigger than Pluto, which meant, you know, Pluto either had to be demoted or they had to make new planets. So they came up with this new category called dwarfs, and they demoted Pluto. And her whole thing was, when she was named, they had this whole big, very kind of sneaky meeting. They told all the people voting for the demotion to stay and vote, and they didn't tell the people that wanted to keep Pluto a planet that they were going to do the vote. So she's got this kind of bad reputation. And so what she does is she reminds you of where you're really irritated. And she can really poke at your sensitive parts and say, and just kind of give them a little shot. So she's stopping. Mm-hmm. And whenever a planet stops, we become very aware of its energy. So she's dead stopped now. She turns retrograde tomorrow. But with an outer planet like her, who takes 10,000 years to go around the sun, she has, you know, long 5-day, 6-day buildup, which was when the kid got killed last week, and then she's got the next 5 days. So it's that sense of feeling really irritated, and then of course Venus is squaring her, so the principle of love and desire is not getting answered in a way it wants. It's arguing with the goddess of discord, who says, no, you can't have it what you want, you can have it this way. So it's not a good week for relationship stuff, in the sense that Venus is going to feel thwarted by Eris saying, no, can't have it, or by the square that she forms to Eris. And Mercury trines her, so he's going to be bringing information. So when you get that discordant energy, kind of sit and look at it, because it's something you really deeply want. It's a deep wish. Eris always knows what the deep wishes are, and she kind of flaunts it on you that you can't have it. Ha, ha, ha. And then Mars, of course, is talking to her too, and he's her sister, he's her brother. So the two of them are going to have a conversation towards the weekend about the choices that you face when you don't necessarily get what you want. But it's kind of close.
I think it's interesting when you go back to the mythology that you described, that I see some of the conflicts right now. We have to let go of some part of our identity to step away from them.
Yes.
In that case, it was the women who, the goddesses who identified as being the most beautiful, and it was their attachment to that. They didn't really want the apple. They wanted to be the most beautiful goddess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that in the political budget debates. They're not. It is much more about how they're seeing voting than it is really wanting a particular outcome.
Right.
They don't want the best for this country, or they wouldn't be fighting the way they're doing it.
Right. And they wouldn't be saying, we're not going to pay our bills, we're going to just steal what we've stolen.
Right.
The whole concept, if we did that, we would be, it's stealing. You're taking something that you bought and you're not paying for it. And we can't go bankrupt. I mean, it's just, you know, but the politics of it, arguing for something on the principle of it, as opposed to, do I really actually want it?
Right.
And I think
that again, I think I'm seeing that in individual places, that not everybody is in discord, but the ones that I'm feeling are the ones that are dealing with an identity position where their identity somehow got hooked into the process.
Yeah.
And they're too, again, aware of other people's opinions of them to really listen to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are stronger planets than Eris out there.
Yes,
one of the advantages of the dwarf planets is that they're very intense, but we can choose to unhook from them. They're not part of our basic core makeup.
Right.
But they're intense triggers.
Mm-hmm. They tend trigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so
she really, her purpose is
to,
you know, on a good day, she causes you to strive. You look at what someone else has and you go, gee, I want that too, and you work hard to get it. So that's the good part of her. You know, getting you stimulated to go after something. The bad part is, you know, making you be jealous or ungainly, or really, you know, is it something you really want, or you just want it because they have it and you don't? You know, the human comparison game thing that we do, where we don't always assess, is it something I really want, or am I hooked into this for some bizarre reason for another reason? You know, so.
Yeah, if you hear a little if you hear a little chorus of ha, 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 ha.
That's Eris.
Then you know,
mm-hmm.
Your motivation is off.
Yeah. She just loves to make you go, yeah, that didn't make me go feel very good. So she's stopping.
And she is an Aries.
Mm-hmm. And she is an Aries, and she's a 22 Aries. So if you have planets at 22 Aries, she can really be stimulating those planets.
And how fast does she move, Anne?
Very slowly. 10,000 years to go around the circle. So we're not talking, she's going very far, very fast. So.
No.
But when she stops.
She's been in Aries for a nice long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we're going to see her in Aries.
Well, I often think, you know, when they talk about the, you know, Book of Revelations or the prophecies that go, and then there'll be 1,000 years of peace, I often wonder if that's when she's in Taurus, you know, because then it would make sense that we wouldn't be fighting so much, you know, because Taurus...
And so when does she go into Taurus? Not for nice long
Not time. For a long... Not while we're alive, but, you know, at some point she does. We'll be dead then, but other people can have her, you know.
But again, during this time, we can work with that. It's a very hopeful note to believe that as Eris moves into Taurus, it's a more fertile and productive time. And we just have to help us survive and work around and not get hooked into that fight. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes along with what's, for instance, what's costing us so much now is our wars, our country's wars. What's the real conflict? They're fighting over debt ceilings and Social Security, but it's because we're hemorrhaging money into these wars. And so are other countries, that while we're dealing with, Eris is in Aries, conflict becomes the identity in which the money goes into. And we can look at that in our own lives right now. So bringing it back to your personal life, how do you choose out of conflict? How do you not waste your energy in a war, spend all your resources arguing with your mate or arguing with your neighbor, and move into and choose a more peaceful part of the chart to work with at this time?
Because it's there, but it's actually actively choosing it. It's not.
No,
is it not agreeing to get into that
I
argument?
Have a letter.
Not agreeing to get into that argument. No, it's not agreeing to get into that argument. Yeah.
Yes.
You have a letter from.
I have a request for a question for tonight, but I also want to know. Can you give out the number?
Yeah,
for
we have.
Our
I can. The number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And so what was your question? What was the question?
This is from Tamara, and she says her birth data is she born 8/14/1965 in San Francisco, California at 1:30 p.m. She has a second job interview this Wednesday for a writing office position, and the first one happened a while in the fall. But it came out of the blue, and she's very excited and upset and wanted to know anything she can do to increase her odds.
So the job interview is Thursday?
This job interview is Wednesday.
Wednesday, Thursday.
She's also working on a long-term writing project and wonders if this would help or hinder.
Okay. August 14, 1965. I think it looks good. The moon's in her, moon's in Aries, and Aries rules her workhouse. So that is nice placement. And then the Aries moon has reasonable closing aspects, not fabulous, but okay ones. It's a trine to Mercury. So that's a nice, that usually is an offer coming in, and that would, to trine to Mercury also would answer her question about would it work well for the writing projects. The answer is yes, because the moon in Aries kind of is in that house, and it's in her fifth house of creativity, and it's going to be opposite Saturn at noon East Coast time. I'm assuming she's in San Francisco, so that's at 8 in the morning. In California, it's going to be opposite 11, and then it's going to be into her workhouse. So that's not bad. Those aren't bad aspects for the moon's, from the moon's position. And then she also has Mars coming to Jupiter Vestas. You might be able to do some work at home from this job too. And with Mars on Jupiter and Gemini, in both Jupiter and Vesta, both in Gemini, Mars coming there stimulates that. This also is the eclipse that we just had the full moon eclipse back to the fall, December rather, of 2010, when we had, 2009, December of 2009, when we had the new moon at this degree. So, yeah, I think it looks good tomorrow. I say go for it.
And what would you say is the best advice you could give her on how to proceed from here?
Remember that she gets...
What to remember at the job interview?
She gets nervous. And, you know, all her Virgo stuff kind of kicks up. So when I see that, I always am like, hold your pinky finger until you calm your head down. And she also has Mercury retrograde, and Mercury's stationing going retrograde in the next couple of weeks. So she would start this job in a Mercury retrograde, and she has one natally. So I think she's going to get it. And just to, you know, kind of think, always come up with a couple really good questions. I like asking them, what do you look for in an employee? You know, what is your favorite, who are your favorite employees and why? You know, meaning what have you liked about them? And what also drives you crazy about people who work for you? And then you know what their points are. And nobody ever asks bosses that. And when you ask a boss that, they go, that's interesting. Yeah. You're asking me who I like and not who I like, but what I like and what I don't like. Because you're actually assessing, you know, are we going to work well together?
Right.
So.
And I look at her chart. She's a Leo, Moon, and Pisces with Scorpio rising and Neptune on the ascendant. So you can be anything, and they will believe whatever you put out there. With Neptune on the ascendant, it's good for, you know, if you come in full of self-doubts, they'll read that. If you come in saying, I can do this, they'll believe that. It's very helpful for you to go through a list of your successes right before, and just wear them, hold them, breathe them right before you walk in that door with all that Pisces in your chart, and to tune into your successes and your confidence when you walk in the door. Keep your focus on them, not on yourself. So you're really coming in and trying to figure out what they want. The questions that Anne gave you are great. To focus on them, to shine on them with your attention rather than get self-conscious by noticing yourself. And that you actually have such a natural charm and you're so good with that Mars in Libra in the 12th house in making peace behind the scenes. You can sometimes get caught in the middle of arguments, but you can make peace behind the scenes and do that well. You are a wonderful storyteller, so I do hope you keep up that long-term writing. But it looks to me like your writing develops more later on in your life, and that this is really your time to live. Your progressed moon at 5 Sagittarius, it's time for you to just dive into your life, live. This would look particularly positive to me if you're working with a company that has foreign connections or is around publishing or education. Of course, nothing around publishing is easy right now, but something that can really activate that Sagittarian side of yourself for a while. And all of your experience feeds into your long-term writing projects. So that looks good. And Mark, do you have any comments before we open the phone lines?
No, I would go along with really everything you both said, and really not trying to trying to avoid getting self-conscious and just really put the focus on what's around you, and you're able to bring things about in that way, in a way of releasing your own ego and just getting excited about the potential and what can be developed in the whole milieu that you're in. So go ahead and lose yourself into that, and that's how you find yourself.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So good luck tomorrow. Shoot us an email and let us know if you get the job. That would be really cool. All right. So if you are interested...
Okay, shall we open the lines?
Yep, if you're interested in us calling on you, they've changed the format. The hand doesn't get raised, but I have little question marks. So I'm assuming you have to press 1... to say you want to get called on. So we'll try the press ones. Hello, you're there. Hi, how are you? You're on the air. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I didn't know it was me.
Yeah, you're on the air. How are you?
Just fine. My name's Ann. I called a long, long time ago, but I'm back. And my birth information is December 16, 1957.
Uh-huh. 57?
Uh-huh.
Yes. And what time?
5:30 a.m.
And where?
Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay. So 5:30 a.m.
Montgomery, yeah. Montgomery, Alabama.
At 5:30 in the morning. And what was the birthday again?
December 16th, 1957.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Long, long time ago. Yep. But we remember that time.
Right. I'm a
photographer. I was 2 years old then.
I'm a photographer who's desperately looking for work in journalism.
Oh, I remember your chart.
Yeah, and I wanted if you have some what you can tell me. I'm applying with media companies, and they're looking at my website and stuff. And I've got some really hot, big media companies really going in there, and I'm just wondering if you get a sense of my prospects or if it's a good time or what.
And you're wondering that, and as I remember, there was some conflict in your soul and in your chart around that you wanted to work for big companies because you want the security and to be able to relax and to feel safe and get benefits. But
because I want to be in that because that's where journalism is, and I can't really, where I am and at my position, I can't really freelance. I want to be with a newspaper, and I want to get with a small one and go then with a bigger one and just see if I can make it be a success at it.
There's a conflict in your chart between looking for security and wanting to do things very much on your own terms. And it looks like that conflict has gone back and forth in your life between those two. But, you're talking about right now, and your progressed moon is at 10 degrees of Libra, and it's conjunct Saturn in the next month in your house of work. And to me, that looks like it's that you may be heading into some hard work, but that's what you're asking for. So it looks like to appeal to older, more established companies with Saturn, as your progressed moon hits Saturn, would be the place, and to deal directly with reassuring the male editors involved that you will work with them and not buck them. Because there's some reason they think that you might not be the easiest person to work with sometimes. And I think you are, but I think that you need to, that may be a worry that they have when they look at your prospects, that you're actually a really good investigative journalist, reporter.
Okay.
That you really know how to research it out and keep looking for the answer.
Okay.
And then you're having you're having a lot of things that say you're kind of starting a whole new major chapter in your life. So when I see that, I always say go back to 1981. What was going on in your career back then? Because you're kind of...
What aspect was that, Anne?
Saturn back in 19... He's back at the age of 1981. He's in her midheaven. So if we go back to what you were doing in 1981, and you were like 24 then...
I was really starting out. Yeah,
you were really starting out. Okay, so now where you're at is you're moving into the next position, and you're saying, okay, I want to come in as, rather than just starting out, I want to step forward as a master, teacher, guide. I'm moving up to the next level. And Saturn comes to the moon, which is how you're seen by the outer world and how you're perceived by others over this fall. So you've got really nice aspects for it. okay. for something to come in. And, you know, of course, also kind of back to 81, what you've learned in the 30 years since then, what kinds of things you're looking for now. And I would look for people that do, you know, look for the people that have something where they do a good art coverage, or they do good coverage of the arts in the area, or vacationers, or people that, you know, a paper.
With her Mars in Scorpio in the 12th, I see her also as really, it's investigative reporting that she would be unusually good at, even though she's got that wonderful Venus in Aquarius in the second house.
Right, yeah. She's totally good at the investigative reporting, but that also is, the, you know, if we're looking at where to find work now with a Saturn
right.
to the moon, you know, interior work, working in, you know, homes, working, you can also, with this chart, kind of look at, you know, designers or people that work in design, or people that need architecture photos taken, or corporations that need, you know, photos taken for brochures and things like that, which isn't really journalism, but it is, it's kind of expanding that visual sense that you have and taking it to the next level. Because in 81, you were starting on your career, and now you're at the 30-year mark saying, okay, now I'm really ready. Do you do any work with individuals in portraiture?
Oh, yeah, I try to. I'm just right now, everybody's, it's just hard to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
It has been for me recently, but
yeah, I'm
very open to anything.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You've got nice aspects with this, with the Saturn coming to sextile the Uranus, you know, for, you know, looking at people's, you know, websites even, you know, working, you know, doing photographs of them for their websites, or photographs for them for their...
Yeah, I agree with Anne that even though your real interest and your real specialty would be investigative reporting, right now to help pay the bills around the edges, working with the designers, and also instead of attaching straight to the... it feels like there are individuals that you need to know, not just apply to the newspaper, but you need to develop a relationship with the designer or the writer that's doing the investigating and work with him on one article and then get taken on. Work with the individual editor and, you know, try one project at a time and get taken on. That there is... you need to develop relationships with the team rather than relationships with the corporation.
See, I know that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful, but the reality is that I'm back in my hometown, and it just aren't. That just doesn't happen. So I'm trying to move.
Not fair. It doesn't happen. You're exactly where you were when you spoke to us last time. It sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
What has changed since the last time we spoke?
Well, I've gotten a lot more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And I have shot a portfolio that I just think really rocks, and I just think it's wonderful. And I've got some really big people looking at me, and what I'm asking you, I guess, is what do you think my prospects of these people from other states?
I think it's very good, but again, I'm going to ask you to get your Mars out of the 12th house and start looking into how, finding out what they need. That's you developing a relationship with them, because it's in those relationships that they will choose your work out of another good photographer nearby.
Okay.
So somehow beginning, you've produced a great body of work. You're good at what you do. It's connecting to the people that's hard, that you're very good at once you're doing it, but it's really hard for you to start.
Yeah.
And so it is, how do you make those relationships that will get them to look beyond the work and choose to work with you? And
okay.
It's not just your work. Your work is fine right now. It is
okay.
How do you find the people that need photographers and develop a relationship with them personally?
Right.
Okay.
And
my last piece.
Yeah, I would also, with your chart, kind of, you know, come up with some ideas that you shoot the story for, and then say there's a story here. And you show them, here's the story, I've shot this stuff, and can we get a reporter into it? Because as you
okay.
travel around, you actually see story ideas where you actually
right.
pitch the story with your
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
That would work really well with your chart too, because then your work is selling, the jobs for you, really.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be really project focused.
Okay, we're leaving now, so I will say
thank you.
Good luck. Keep us posted, Anne.
Access Astrology. This is Heather Rowan Robbins checking out, and I'm joined by Mark.
Mark Wald in New York, and remember, you can find us at astronyc.com.
And off our blog talk radio
Our blog
page.
Talk radio page. And I'm Ann Ortley, and my Bright Red Desk. Join us at Open Center, too. We talk there live every Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30. So great. Have a great week, folks. Watch out for Eris. No Discord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Choose another path.
Yeah,
take
choose
care.
Another path. Okay.
Bye-bye.
And
bye-bye.
Good luck on that, Ann.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.